No, I'm trying to
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational programming. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am so glad that you all stopped by here to be with us this evening. We have really a fantastic show planned for you tonight, and I am so excited. And let me go ahead and begin by bringing in my various co-hosts. Let me start with Lady C, followed by Miss J. Let me go ahead and bring in Lady C. And looks like we are having some technical difficulties on this end, and I'm hoping that it will be okay. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a joy to have you. I have some noise in the background somewhere.
I'm sorry. It's part of my children. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I hope everybody is ready for the show. I am, you know, looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say, what you guys' thoughts are going to be tonight. I'm just looking forward to everything that's going to happen tonight.
All right. Excellent. We're so glad to have you as well joining us tonight. Let's go ahead and bring in Sir Benny. Sir Benny, it's a pleasure to have you on tonight's broadcast. Good to have you as always.
Good evening, good evening. Happy Friday. Happy the beginning of a holiday weekend. So let's get excited. Let's get energized and get ready for some fireworks.
Awesome, awesome. You know, speaking of holiday weekend, my birthday's coming up, and it's nice to be turning 27 again. So I know that I said again. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. My birthday will be Monday, right after the 4th. Let's go ahead. My mother said, you know, she didn't want too many people celebrating my birthday, the whole world, or the United States anyway, for that matter. So she said she'd just go ahead and wait till the 5th. But anyway, we're so grateful to have all of you all here. Let's go ahead and bring in Miss Jay. Miss Jay, it's an honor to have you here joining us as well, all the way from Atlanta. And I hear you got nice weather out there.
No, it's been raining hard today, but hello, everybody. This is rainy Georgia, but happy Friday, and I'm ready for the show.
Well, somebody sang that song, it's a rainy night in Georgia. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah, so, well, there you have it. All right, Dee Marie, let's bring you in. It's an honor and pleasure to have you with us this evening as well. I certainly look forward to all of you all commentary.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Yes, I think this is a great topic, and I hope that we're all inspired. Let it be a night of inspiration and hope.
Yes, yes, that's what we're certainly looking forward to, a night of inspiration. Before we get into our topic, we're just going to invite God into our programming this evening. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength, and all of your blessings. We invite you into tonight's programming. Help us to leave with something more than what we brought. And help us to get that blessing according to your word. In Christ's name I pray and thank you. Amen. So now, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is a rather deep one. And, you know, we're just asking some questions here, and it's for educational and informational purposes. And we want to know what you all think. You know, sometimes people go through so much in life that they never lose their faith. They never lose their faith, no matter what is going on. And the world can be crumbling, but somehow or other they maintain their faith, and that's a noble thing. But that doesn't always happen to some people. Others, you will find that when crises come after, and I'm talking about, you know, problems that come, they tend to lose their faith, and they just start to disbelieve. So tonight our topic is, do you still have faith in God when life brings you disappointments? And it's not just one or two disappointments, but it's a series of disappointments. And Benny, Sir Ben, I want to start with you tonight. I mean, how is it expected for someone to maintain their faith when they've just lost a loved one that they've been praying and just believing by faith that this person was going to be healed?
Well, there's a couple things that we want to just talk about quickly. First of all, your faith has to be solidified in who you are, and you have to know that even when tragedies happen, there is something good out of everything that happens in our lives. If it gets us from one point to another point, it did what it was supposed to do. It raised us to another level of understanding about who God is and how God operates in our lives. So, yes, I understand that that loved one did not make it the way we wanted to. That's cardinal line of thinking. But, see, God may have had a plan for that person, and he wanted him to come home now because there might have been something down the road that that person might not have been able to handle. So God said, rather than me lose them to despair, to lack of faith, to just turning their back on God, I'm going to take them while they're still in their love and kind and respectfulness and honoring of who I am. So when we say trust God with all our hearts, that's exactly what we're supposed to do, trust God with all our hearts. In spite of how we feel, our emotions, what we think, if God gives it to us, there's a reason why he gave it to us. We may not understand it now, but later on down the road, it'll make sense to us.
All right. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here and kind of piggyback on some of this here now. I mean, it's like, you know, it sounds all good, you know, spiritually. It sounds really, really good. But then, you know, you're talking about people who, after a while, it's like, you know, I had this faith. I just was telling everybody that she's gonna pull through. She's gonna make it because I got this strong relationship with God, and I just know that my loved one was gonna hang in there. And then all of a sudden, the ministers and others who come and comfort you after the loss, but then everybody's gone now. Everybody's gone. The funeral's over. The repast is over. And you're there, and you've got time now to reflect. B. Marie, how do you just manage to say, well, God, what happened?
You know, one thing about when we go through pain is it's a process to kind of, you know, take the time to look at what's happening around you and process it. It's important to know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, that God is faithful. And it's not an easy thing to deal with. And I think one of the first things that's important to do is just to admit that it hurts. Sometimes we never want to admit it hurts. We try to get past it. We try to push our feelings aside. But I think the first step is to admitting it hurts and it's painful and taking one day at a time.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you to stand by. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, do you still have faith in God when life brings you disappointments? Ms. J, I want to bring you in and ask you the question. People now say to you after your loss, well, girl, I know it's not easy, but and they've not encountered what you've encountered. And they say to you, I know it's not easy, but be strong. How do you deal with that, Ms. J? How do you deal with that? They've never experienced what you've experienced. For example, you lose your mother, and they haven't lost their mother. And they just say, I know it's not easy. I know what you're going through, but be strong. And you know they haven't lost their mother.
Yeah. People shouldn't really say anything, but let me say this. I'm going to say this first of all. Don't judge me on what I'm about to say, because no one has really walked in my exact shoe. But
okay.
I have gone through this. Yes, you sort of lose your faith, but you don't. When my husband passed, I admitted that I admitted to God that I was mad with him, that I was disappointed, that I didn't understand what he was doing. I was so mad. I cursed to him. I asked why. Because he had this disciple, this man of God, and you took him. We prayed and we thought we were going to be healed, but it didn't happen. And I prayed with him. I talked with God. I cried with God. And I really found out, he let me know that it was okay for me to feel like I felt. Sometimes people say you shouldn't question God, you should do that. But for my praying and crying, he let me know it was okay. He wanted me to cry with him and talk with him and pray with him. And doing all this, it helped to build me more in my love for him. And it really helped me to get more faith, because what it was, my trust in God, I was going through this bad period of grief, which is good and it's hard. But I found out that, you know, I read somewhere that God uses sadness to call us to serve him. And that's basically what happened with me. My husband did what he needed to do for God. Now it was my time. And I had to, it was some things put forth for me to do, but it was in a different way. But I had to find my way. And, you know, that would happen to me. My sadness in my heart really motivated me to take a huge leap into my faith and get into that word more and learn God more. So don't feel bad if you question God. That's the point I'm trying to make, and you ask questions. People say don't question him, but you have to go through your faith to find yourself and find where he wants you to be.
Well, that, you know, I'm certain that nobody on this line is judging you, and certainly we're sorry for your loss, and we appreciate you sharing this with us, especially to inform people on letting us being reminded that it's okay to go through this. I mean, and I'm sure many of us have suffered loss, and, you know, it's, you were told that it's a part of life. So, Ms. Lady C, as I bring you in, is there any way you can prepare for that unknown, that, you know, the Bible tells us that death is the last enemy of man, of mankind. And so is there any way that anybody can really prepare for something like that? And then, I mean, maintaining faith in God after a significant loss like that can be rather challenging. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on any of this?
I don't think anybody can prepare for, you know, someone that they love that dies or passes on. You know, it's the whole part of acceptance. You got to accept that the person has gone, you know, on to heaven. You know?
Okay.
So, but as far as, I don't think anybody can prepare for a loss.
Okay. B. Marie, I want to bring you in and ask this question. Now we change focus a little bit. Guy is praying for, he's been praying for this job, knows that he's qualified for it, and has the faith in God. And then he gets disappointed. He doesn't get the job. And they say, oh, we regret to inform you that although you were in the top three candidates, we decided to go with someone else. We certainly wish you well in your future endeavors as you seek employment. So, B. Marie, how do you, I mean, you're like, you know, and then Sir Ben, I'm going to bring you in, because when we talk about the desires of our heart, and I know sometimes we, it seems like the shows may overlap with certain things we talk about, but the desire of that person's heart was to get that job. So, B. Marie, let me start with you. And it's like the man or the woman did not get that specific job, and that's the job I wanted. So somebody, ultimately, somebody's going to say, well, that wasn't what God had in mind for you, but that's not what you want to hear. So, B. Marie, what do you do?
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you asked me this one, because I've been through this several times. I was working at – I was working for a company, and I – was deciding to transition on somewhere else. And then I said, maybe there's an opportunity in this department, because information systems is my degree. And I've always wanted to work for a management information system. So I applied for this job. I interviewed. Interview was amazing. I mean, it was wonderful. The people love me, and they called and gave me an offer. Then, so I'm excited. I'm celebrating. Then come to find out, 2 weeks later, HR informs me that something changed. There was another – something went on, and I did not get the job offer. And that was very painful because that was the job that I craved. I always wanted that job in that department. And it's happened a few times where there's things that I've prayed for and said, this is what I really want to do, God. This is on my heart to do. And the opportunity didn't open. And so I shared that to say, I think we have to be very careful about the desires, when we say the desires of our heart. We translate that into whatever I want, God's going to give me. And that's not necessarily the case. We still have to remember that God is sovereign and that his plan in the end is still greater and bigger than we could ever imagine, hope, or dream. So if anybody's listening, you have something you really want to do, I would say if you, that door doesn't open, and this is what's happened with me, when that door didn't open, it was disappointing. And yes, like the previous person said, you can say, Lord, I'm God, I'm upset, and he can handle our anger, our frustration. But in the end, you say, yeah, I trust you. And you will see how God can direct your steps and order your steps in other directions. And I can say now, like almost 10 years later, my path has gone and so many more doors have opened for me and continue to. So even in the painful times when we don't get those opportunities, we still have to see that God is involved and he cares and he knows what you're capable of doing and he can open great doors that you never can imagine.
All right. Excellent point. Excellent point of view. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in, and we talk a lot, and we have on this show about the desires of your heart. And I want to say with the job situation, just for a second before we change gears, you wanted that job. You wanted that job. And it's like with me with the bar exam, and it's no surprise to our listeners out here, I've taken that thing 3 times. And it's like, God, really? Really? God, I mean, like, you know, what else do I need to know? And that's the desire of my heart. And I must admit, it's still a struggle because it's not only expensive having to retake it, it's a lot of grueling work for you to retain something. When God could just blow on that thing and just help you get there. So, Sir Ben, we're asking the question, the desire of your heart, this is really deep. And we need it to be broken down from your perspective, you know, in a very good way, where people might get that, because I think sometimes we interpret the desires of your heart differently. So go ahead.
So desires of the heart is very, very important and dear to me. Let me just give 2 quick examples. When you have 2 teams on a field, any type of playing field, what is the one thing that they have in common other than the fact that they are competitors? The one thing that they do is both teams always kneel together in a huddle, and they pray for victory. We know that only one team can win, but they always pray for victory. That is how it is in our heart, in our lives. As we're going through our journey called life, we have desires of our heart, but we have to be very, very, we have to be very, very sure of what we're asking for when we ask for a desire. Now, I don't mean to question you, Dr. Jesse, but when you say you have a desire to be a lawyer and you need to pass the exam, you did get that exam.
Yeah.
You did get the opportunity to take that exam, not once, not twice, but 3 times. It doesn't qualify for whether or not you pass or not. The fact is, your desire was to sit before that exam. That desire was met. A lot of us don't realize that the desires of our heart doesn't necessarily have to last forever. It could be just a short-time experience. It could be a one-time shot. It could be a one moment that we just get embraced in. It could be any of those things. God said, I will give you the desire of your heart. How are we manifesting the desires of our heart? Okay, I want to be on TV one day. All of a sudden, you're walking down the road, and boom, the TV people show up and ask you a question about what just happened. There you go. The desires of your heart was met. Were you specific with that? No, oh, my God. Listen, I want to not just be on TV. I want to be a person that is on a consistent basis behind the camera and doing things. So we don't understand sometimes that the desires of our hearts are actually met,
And so we should be giving thanks and praise to that. Thank you for meeting the desires of my heart. I just had that experience recently. The desires of my heart were met in every area of my life that I was looking for, even though I had not manifested that recently. But when it came about, I knew it, I recognized it, and I gave thanks to it. Because some things are good for us to move us into another place of greatness, but because we get stuck on just the, well, you know, I got to sit for the test, but I didn't pass. Okay, so come back and create a new desire. Father, my new desire is to not only sit for the test, to pass the test, and be prepared for the next level of my life. And he can come back and do that. Sometimes God wants us to surrender ourselves to what he's already trying to give us. He wants us to move forward. We have free will and free thought, so we should be able to exercise that free will. We can't just assume that God knows what we want, because he does, but he still wants us to submit to him. He wants us to say, Father, this is what I want. I desire this. And because I'm sure and I know that you can deliver it to me, I would love to have it just like this. When Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed, there was not one righteous person in that city, but because of the conversation between Abraham and the relationship that they had, God spared Lot and his wife and his family to get them out of the city. So they were not the recipients of, they were not the original desires of their hearts to survive out of the city. They were the recipients of a relationship between Abraham and God, which allowed them to come out of the city to save their lives. So there was not no righteous one there, but the desire of someone else manifested in their lives for a period of time, and it allowed them to go on in their journey.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. B. Marie, I want to bring you in with kind of the same preference here. And how would you interpret the desires, you know, when we talk about the desires of the heart? Because it almost sounds as if I'm hearing that we, and I've heard this so many times before, that you have to be specific when it comes to God. And I'm pretty sure that I've said it, with all of these tests, God, please help me to pass this test. Well, passing that test is passing the bar to get my license. So, I mean, do we have to, B. Marie, from your perspective, do we have to go further than that? I mean, if he's omniscient, which we're told that he is, all-knowing, he knows what I need. God, help me, you know, blink on this thing. You know, bring it back to my memory. Hey, Lord, if I got the wrong answer, kind of help me out here. I'm not asking you to cheat for me, but just, you know, I've seen you do other stuff for me.
Yeah.
That was even harder. You helped me get a doctorate degree. And that was harder. So, B. Marie, how do you see it? And I didn't ask him for all of those specifics. Talk to me.
All right. So, Dr. Walker, I believe, listen, I believe you can do it. Sir, we've had many conversations, and I believe you can do it. So we're just going to encourage you to, we're going to encourage you tonight, you know. So what I'm hearing from that perspective is perseverance and what society now calls in the corporate world grit. Okay. There are perseverance, grit, and practice, and continuing to press forward to the things that you want to do. And when it comes to that, I believe, you know, you keep trying, keep studying, that you will make it. I think of many great people in history, and this is what usually helps me when I read the stories of others who have had to persevere to gain, you know, success. There's many who have tried over and over again and failed hundreds of times, but that 101 times the invention was created. And if it wasn't for perseverance, there's a lot of inventions we wouldn't have. So I say continue and press forward in that. But one of the things that I do want to kind of talk about with the desires of our heart, and I thank Sir Benny for his perspective, one of the things I wanted to talk about too is sometimes what happens is we tend to, when we look at scripture, we have to be in our, you know, I don't want to get so much into this, but when we look at scripture, we have to be very, very, very mindful that we look at many different scriptures surrounding a specific topic. So we're talking about the heart, but there's other scriptures in the Word that talk about the heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Now, our heart can desire after really, really great things. There's time you could say, I'm a married woman, And I really desire that man over there. That's not my husband. Mm-hmm. I really desire him. That's what I really, really want. My heart is just aching for this person. But is that going to violate God's law? Is that something that we are supposed to do? No, we're not supposed to do that. And I know that's an extreme example, but we just have to be mindful of the desires of our heart. And I think we kind of interpret it as God's going to give me what I want. So to make it clear, God gives you the desires of your heart. He does not give you your heart's desires. It's not always going to be what we want. It's not always going to be the way we want it. Everything, because I think what happens in our walk, Christians think if I come to Christ and I serve him, everything I ask for, he's going to give to me. I know many, my bishop in his life wanted to have children, and they could not have their own children. They prayed and believed and prayed. They tried doctors, but they ended up adopting. And they adopt two great young men. Did they get what they ultimately wanted? Children? Yes. They did get the children, but it didn't come by the way in which they expected. So there are things that we desire, but I believe God gives us the desire. He plants in us what he wants for us. But that only happens when we take the time to seek him with all of our heart so he can place in our heart what he desires for us. So, you know, that's my thoughts on that.
So here we are. I'm hearing, I mean, it almost sounds confusing. It really does. It all now it's almost like the etymology, the we begin to look at the study of words, and now it's almost like it's a play of words. You know, God does not, I'm hearing you, Dee Marie, say that the Bible tells us that God will grant you the desires of your heart. But now I'm hearing you say not grant you the desires of your heart so much, but not your heart's desire. So, I mean, we're hearing different things. Lady C, I want to bring you in and say, I mean, that's a lot. That's, as the younger people say today, that's extra. That's a lot.
Dr. Walker, can you
go ahead, Dee Marie, before Lady C comes in. Go ahead, Dee Marie.
Okay. So Isaiah, here's another point of view for that. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We're not, it would be great if we had if we could understand every aspect of our life, why we prayed and really wanted this door to open, but it did not. In all of it, we still have to remember that God's ways of doing things are way above us and bigger than us. He's bigger than us. And I think when we start going into faith and trusting God, we have to believe that even if this particular door here did not open, he's still going to do great things in our lives, and he still has a different plan for us. So I don't want to confuse, but I want us to understand we're talking about disappointment tonight, right? So
yeah.
We're not talking about disappointment because everything we want happens. We're talking about disappointment because some things we want don't happen. And even in that, we still have to maintain our faith and trust God. If everything we wanted and everything we desired happened, what would we even say for? Why would there be disappointment? So I think that's important to note.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ladies here, I want to bring you in. It still can be rather confusing with different people's play of words. Oh, now, no, you're not. You shouldn't pray for it this way. You should pray for it this way. Then you got 15 people saying, no, you should pray for it this way. And then you're like, oh, my goodness. Like the disciples just say, came to Jesus, say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so, ladies here, I want to ask you, I mean, if I can't get the desires of my heart, when God, I'm told God knows everything already. He even knows what you want before you even ask him. Then why bother to even pray?
I mean, we're not going to get everything we want anyway. You know, it's life. We're not going to get everything we want. So, I mean, sometimes, and I'm going to just say this in my opinion. Sometimes we want things thinking it is our heart's desires, but it's a want and not a need. your need is what desires what you, your heart desires what you need, not what you want. You know, sometimes I think we can confuse the two and be praying for God for something that we want and not what we need. And so when God looks in our heart, he's like, give us what we want. He's going to give us what we need.
Wow. That, see, now I'm even getting more confused. Ms. J, let me bring you in here. All right, so now don't pray for what you want. Don't pray for what you want, but pray for what you need. I don't always know what I need, but I do have an idea. I have a pretty good idea what I want. So help me out here, Ms. J. What are your thoughts on that? You know, because
you know,
when I don't get what I want, then it becomes rather disappointing. I didn't pass that bar, and that's not only what I want. I kind of felt like I needed that because, Lord, I wanted to work this as a licensed attorney for God. So it was what I needed. I got to have a license to practice, and then it's what I wanted to fulfill my childhood dream, but I want to be able to do it for the will of God, not chasing money. Ms. J, help me out because I'm totally confused.
You know, this is the way I'm sort of looking at it. All of your desires that you're asking God for may not come true because usually you're asking for more than one desire at a time. I'm going to give a little quick example. I had a job. I wanted this job because it was more money. It was a prestigious job, but it had a lot of traveling. But I had previously prayed to have a job where I could be at home with my family and help my kids to grow. So I didn't get that job. So God looked at my desires, what I feel, and said, okay, this is what I think is best for you. You know, you wanted to be there with your family, help raise them versus traveling every Monday, going out somewhere. So you're not going to get this job. I'm going to make your first hard desire what you wanted with your family. So every desire you get won't come true. And then if you want it to, you still got to have patience with it and keep trusting in God. And it's at his time and not your time. You might think it needs to come within the next couple of years, but it might be 10 years from now in another way that you receive whatever you want. You know, so you just have to be patient with it, too. And you're not going to get every desire because you're asking for a lot of them. And you know, God's going to do the best desire that he feels best for you. That's the way I look at it.
So, Ben, I want to bring you in. So, I mean, this part, see, here's another a roadmap to it that now you're asking for a whole lot of these desires of your heart. What's wrong with that? As I get older, I mean, it's not the same desires I had at 10, not the same desires I had at 20. So, of course, it's going to be more. Well, God, I want that woman over there. You know, I mean, David, he got the desire of his heart, and I doubt if David prayed for Bathsheba, but he got that woman by having her husband killed. So, and God, we all know what God said. That's, man, that's my own heart, and David had a repenting heart. So, Sir Ben, I mean, this can, you know, when we talk about tonight, do you still have faith in God when life brings you disappointments? Of course we will. But then my question is, when we don't get the desires of our heart and then somebody tries to console or comfort us, is it what God has placed in our spirit or is that just the way life is? Boy, you're not going to get everything. Girl, you're not going to get everything. That's just life. And then somebody says, well, it's not God's timing, like Ms. J just said. You got to be patient with that. Really? Sir Ben, really? You know? So,
well,
I mean, how do you maintain that faith other than just talking up and say that's life?
Well, my best, thank you, Holy Spirit. When we have a desire, that desire has to be examined by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one that takes our prayers and translates them because we don't know what to pray for. He translates it and takes it to God, and God in turn responds. Now, in that process, we have to be in a place to be able to let the blessing and let the prayers that we're asking for settle in our heart. And then as we're waiting on the answer, The settling is what prepares us for the answer. One of the best stories I like to use is Hosea and Gomer, his wife. This man was a prophet, married this woman who really was a whore. It's not to diminish her, but that's what she was. Not only that, she left several times and kept doing what she was doing. But God said, go buy your wife and bring her back. So let's step with that for just 10 seconds. Do you know what it takes for a man to have to go buy his wife back from a pimp and he has to pay money for him, and that's his wife? And God said, go back and get her? You don't think that was the desire of his heart? That takes a whole lot of everything to be able to say, I'm going to bring you back home, and I'm going to live with you, raise these children as if nothing happened. The desire of your heart is embedded in the relationship that you have with God. That's the point that we're missing. You can just have a desire, and that desire can be manifested by the enemy, Satan. He gives people desires all the time because they have given him access. But when you have a direct connection with the Father, there is no reason for him not to give you the desires of your heart. Because, see, God, the Father, really looks at us as children that he loves. And I want to take it one step further. God really is like a grandfather, a granddaddy. He ain't in the process right now of saying, I got to raise my children, I got these hard times, I got things going on. No, he loves us. And so he just wants to do what's good and what's decent and what's loving. So we as children or grandchildren in this aspect, we can just receive the blessings that God wants to have. As a grandparent, you don't treat your grandchildren like you did your children. You let them get away with a whole lot of stuff. And your children come back and remind you, well, mommy, you let us get away with that, or daddy, you let us get away with that. Because that's how God wants us to be. He wants to be like the grandfather and just take care of us. And he reminds us on a regular basis that in order for us to really appreciate who God is, we have to have the mind and the wayward of a child to be able to receive the love and the blessings that we have.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, we switch gears now, and we go to one where just before we switch gears on that one, I do want to it said that Hosea is an example of disobedience of a nation. Let's bring B. Marie in. What do you think that means? Hosea is an example of the disobedience of a nation. There's a lot of things that go, you know, with that story. I mean, here I realize how much he wanted his wife, and he had to go down there. This was the woman that he wanted. So is it really that it was his heart's desire, which I think it was, or was it just a matter of life without him praying for this? He was going to do his best to go after it anyway, get after her anyway.
Sorry, Dr. Watson. So your question was,
Hosea, when we talk about Hosea, it's an example of disobedience. How is that disobedience? I mean, was it that Hosea was, you know, fighting to go after what wanted?
Metaphorically, what was happening with the story was Hosea was a picture of God, and Gomer represented God's people. God's people were called to live in a covenant relationship with the Lord. He was their God, and they were to have no other gods in their life. They consistently rebelled against God and chased after other idols. So that's what was happening. And I think, you know, so that's what holistically is going on with that story and what it represents. So that's basically what, in a nutshell. But an example of Hosea Gomer, absolutely, you know, that's fine, but that's what we're talking about. Because we have to be mindful of the theological and metaphoric way that the scripture is speaking. So it did really happen, but that's what that story was talking about. God did that. Yeah.
All right. If one of you all would be so kind to tell me what the word desire means in Greek or Hebrew. You know, if you can look that up in one of your, you know, if you can pull that up, And we're going to get to that in a moment. But I want to go back to Lady C just for a second. And Lady C, I want to bring it in. Say the woman, she gets pregnant from a guy she really, you know, wants to be with. And she loses that baby. Now this is a, and she wants that baby. But she loses that baby. And this was the desire of her heart. Not that she's just thinking that the man will come with it, but she's pregnant. And no mother in my, you know, no mother in her right mind, I would think, would not want to lose a child. And she loses the child. How do you, that's a disappointment. So how do you maintain faith, in your opinion, to go forward from there? And you're, I mean, you know, just, not saying that it's happened to you, but how do you go forward?
It did happen to me. In 2019, I was with the love of my life, who I love, okay? Although it didn't work out. But we ended up getting pregnant in the process. He supported me through the whole baby, I mean, whole pregnancy, and I ended up losing a child, you know? I didn't question God about it. You know, it wasn't nothing really bad. I didn't understand why the baby was taken away. But I just had to come to the senses of saying, you know what, God had other plans, which he did. Because later on I realized why this baby had to be taken away, because this guy wasn't going to be in my life. And I would have been a single mother with three kids instead of two.
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry for your loss. Well, did you at some point, how did you find comfort when other people may have come around you to console you, or did it take you yourself to come to grips for yourself after this experience?
It took me time to just have conversations, you know, with God. Because me, I'm more of a private person. I don't like for people to be all up in my, a lot of people to be in my ear, you know? Because when people put in, come in your ear, they put in, to me, I feel like they, it torments your mind, because now you don't know what to think. Because you think you have what they're saying in your mind and what you not told God in your mind. So in my mind, I just have, I have to deal with God with, on one-on-one, just me and him alone. And that's how I had to do it.
And, you know, I'm glad that you said, I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm glad what you just said is, for me now, I can't speak for anybody else, but it's a very valid point, because sometimes, oftentimes, just as on tonight's show, we've said some different, some of us have said some things that may sound common, but we've differed in how we said it, and it takes it to a different, in a different direction, some of those thoughts, even with the word desire of our heart. And so that's why I've asked, you know, someone to look into giving us this word. And so now I think that this is just my personal opinion. I welcome you all as well. When it comes down to what we're dealing with, it comes down to our own personal relationship with God, because so many people can tell us so many different things. And I go back to the license for the exam, you know, everybody, oh, you know, three times is a charm. Well, shoot, I mean, it's like three times a charm, you know, and then I've read stories on people that have taken 18 times, 14 times, 7 times. Man took it over 30 times. Well, it's only offered twice a year, February and July, which means you take it twice a year, you're taking it 10 times. That's 20 years of your life. I mean, no, that's you've taken it 10 times, that's 5 years, you know, and one man, he took it so many times, and I read these stories all the time, he took it so many times that by the time his son was of age, his son had graduated and passed the bar exam, and he still hadn't passed, the father. And so I'm just thinking, was this man praying through all of those disappointments? I doubt it, but he just had the will to not give up. So, Ms. J, I want to bring you in. I mean, for me, it's just what Lady C has said. It comes down to me and God with what I can come to resolve with God, not what 15 other people are telling me, because all 15 people, there's a good likelihood are probably going to say 15 different things. Ms. J, how do you handle the disappointments and maintain your faith in God?
Well, for one thing, to start off, just anybody can't come and tell me anything, because if you haven't walked in my shoes, you can't. But then again, you might not walked in the same size shoe as mine, so you still can't.
Okay.
So what you have to do is just go through that grief process, and you go through it with God. You have to. God, I'm going to tell you, God became my man. He became my lover. He became my everything. I just put myself in him so I could understand and go through the process. And he was the only one that could help me, for me to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Between me and God, we made it.
So that's what it comes down to. We're going to go we want to hear from you all out there. If you want to press 1, this is a good time to press 1 on your dial to give us your thoughts. B-Marie, I want to bring you in, and then Benny from the block, Sir Benny, I want to bring you in and ask, if you looked at the desire of your heart, and, you know, is that a difference between delight yourself in the Lord? You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will do a certain thing. It sounds conditional. B-Marie, let's bring you in first and get your thoughts on that. And if you have the Greek version of desire or the Hebrew version, then share that with us. And, Sir Ben, we're going to ask you the same thing.
Okay. So delight yourself in the Lord. I'm getting grammar on everybody. Sorry, I'm an English teacher. It's imperative, which means it is saying you delight yourself in the Lord. You as a Seder, but it's implying that that's what you're supposed to do. So when we delight ourselves in the Lord, that's a command, actually, that we are to do that first and foremost. So when it comes to, I'm going to read this. It says, when we celebrate the presence of the Lord as our chief delight, so he has to be the chief delight in our lives. He will give us the desires, quote unquote, of our heart. The word desires is translated in the Hebrew as mishalat. It comes from the Hebrew verb shaal, which means to ask or request something. A shaal is a question you ask a teacher. The deepest needs, desires, and questions of our hearts are all bound in the life and love of God. Whatever else we might think we desire, God knows that what we truly need is his love and delight within us. When our affections are centered around the Lord and we delight in him, the deepest yearnings of our heart will be fulfilled by his personal love and grace for us. We shall ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us, John 15:7, and we shall be completely satisfied, since our enjoyment and worship of him is our greatest gift and good. So I know I read a lot, but the first part is delighting ourselves in the Lord. And so that's what you were asking in terms of the Hebrew. And then, you know, the interesting thing about that is you say, well, I do delight myself in the Lord. I worship, I love God, and I serve him, so why hasn't he given me this?
Exactly.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Again, this is where, like you've all said on the call, we've all said, and when we hang up off of this radio show tonight, guess what? We are going to be head-on faced with things that we wanted, desired, and have not yet seen fulfilled in our lives. And, you know, we still have to delight ourselves in the Lord. He has to be our number one true delight, no matter what. And trust him that he will bring what we need when we need it, and that he knows best. Father knows best. I think at the end of the day, Father knows best. And all you have to do is look back over your life. Think about the things that you wanted that didn't come the way that you thought, but see how he still worked it out for you. I think we have to always remember that we overcome by our testimony. We have to look back and remember what he's already done for us, and that's very important.
You know, it's interesting that you say Father knows best. And I, there was a TV sitcom that actually, the word Father knows best, it was a show back in in the 50s, I believe, and in the early 60s, with Robert Young and Jane Wyatt, Eleanor Donahue, and two others. And, you know, it's interesting. Without telling my real age, which I'm proud of anyway.
You're 27.
Yeah, 27. I said earlier, right? But the fact of the matter is, To this day, I still watch Father Knows Best on YouTube. And the reason I do is kind of like what you're saying here, that I grew up watching Father Knows Best. And it's like no matter what crisis or situation was going on, that father of that household, he knew what was best. And I parallel that to my relationship with God, that no matter even when I'm not getting what I really want, that Father knows best. But in this case, my father, being God, knows best. So Ben, I want to bring you in with, if you have the Hebrew, I mean, we did the Hebrew, if you know the Greek version, if not, we'll come back to that. But I do know that the part of that Greek is the passionate, when we talk about desire, it's passionate longing. You know, is even the word even lust is used out there. It's an eagerness for something. Inordinate desire. I mean, you talk about a desire. That's deep. So, but when that disappointment comes, it's like we're children. Like I remember being a kid. I wanted this bicycle. And they say, if you be good, you'll get the bicycle. Well, I thought I was trying to be good. And then when it didn't come when I wanted it to, I say, well, what's the point of being good if the bicycle doesn't come? Well, it ultimately came, but it was like I was getting frustrated because I was making an effort to be good. So, Sir Ben, how do and then it was like I was losing faith in my parents because the bicycle wasn't coming fast enough. So, all of a sudden it's like, well, why not just be myself anyway? I got to make this effort to be good. I've been good for like 6 weeks. The bicycle hasn't come. So, Sir Ben, what's the point of maintaining my faith? Why don't I just live like other people that I know? They don't even pray. And they get everything they seem to want.
Okay. I'm just going to talk plain. When you know to do good, just do good.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back over my life and I see my disappointments, my pains, and it wasn't a whole lot of them, but I did have them, I can sit back and rejoice in that disappointment. And let me explain to you what I mean rejoice. When you see yourself in a difficult situation, no matter what you may deem it to be, emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever, it's not so much that we didn't experience disappointment or experience pain. It's what we learned in that disappointment, in that pain, that took us to another level. I talk about another level is when I look back over my life and I see some of the struggles that I had to go through, and then I look forward in my life and I see all the great accomplishments and all the great desires that were given to me, I realize that in order for me to get to the place I am now, I had to go through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of pain, and I had to go through a little bit of unsurety, but I stayed solidified in what I knew. And what I knew is, no matter what, God's going to get me through it. That was my direct connect. Now when I look back at my life presently now, and all the things that he has given me, all the desires, all the places he's taken me, all the different things he's given me in my life, the experiences, the know-how, the things that he gave me, not me, he gave those things to me. It's an incredible journey because there's an incredible amount of blessing that was given to me that I didn't really understand why. Now I understand why. There was a reason for that, because there were going to be people along my journey that was going to need certain things. And as I'm going along in my journey, I realize I have some tools, certain things that I can help people in so that their journey become a little less cumbersome, a little less difficult, a little less unbearable. But God gave me that because he knew where he wanted me to go. He already knew my path before I ever even began to think about what I was in him. So, I'm perfectly saying, if you just trust God and get out of our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own everything else, and say, God, I know you know, because you're the Father that knows best. You created me, you made me, you knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. That means he was already in relationship with you in heaven before you ever made it to the earthly person. So who am I to second guess or question God? No!
If you tell me I need to take that test 15 times, okay. If you tell me I need you to go left, okay. If you tell me I need to go downstairs, okay. Because my position is I want to be in a yes, Father, and I'm available. Because when you do that, then the desires of your heart become even that much more easier manifested than they would if you were just desiring things in your own mind and in a carnal mind.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I guess we're going to try to deal with the Greek or the Hebrew. We deal with one of them. B. Marie, do you have the other version by any chance? All right, if not, Lady C, let me bring you in. Has there been something that of recent that you've been praying for that's the desire of your heart, and for some reason you've been praying earnestly, you know, you've been really praying, and it hasn't happened, and somewhere along the way somebody tries to come and comfort you and say, oh, well, you know, hey, they could be close to you, and they say, hey, you know, it's not your time yet, you know, and just keep. I mean, how much patience do we have to really have? You know, you've been praying and it hasn't happened. And you're like, you can't figure out why. You really can't understand why, because there are things that have happened with me that I just can't understand why. And then I end up leaving it alone completely. But I don't, but we're always told, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. So has there been, my question to you is, has there been something that you've been earnestly praying about, Lady C? And then you're like, it hasn't happened, and I don't understand why.
Well, only thing I was praying about was me buying a house. You know, that's what I have been praying for. But I'm in the process of trying to do that now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, although every house I keep going full offer on, someone keeps outbidding me. But again, it's all of God's timing, because every house that someone outbid me on, it just means it's not my house. It wasn't for me. But I'm still in the race for the right house that God has for me. So that's the only thing I've been praying for, is to buy a house. And I'm in the process of trying to do that now. So.
All right. So, ladies, let me ask you, because if that's me, I remember I just recently bought a place. And I looked at, I guess maybe four places. I didn't even go looking at them. Somebody else looked at them for me. I looked at, I think, two. And then the people just told me that, oh, you can't, you're not going to be able to qualify for this house. And I prayed to God. I prayed to God that one time. And God opened, he parted that Red Sea. And I got that house that they said I wouldn't qualify for. So let me just ask you this, and I'm not trying to make it about me, but I'm just saying, is it frustrating that you're having to go through all of this here to look for so many houses when some people like myself was able to pray that one time and it happened? So because
no,
I know
it's
that
not
God
frustrating.
Heart, it would have been, huh?
It's not frustrating. The only thing
okay.
that was frustrating me was not that, you know, somebody else got the house faster than I got the house. You know, what frustrated me was I had the wrong team behind me. I had, like, you know, realtors that wasn't doing their job like they were supposed to. Like, I was out here looking for the houses. I was driving. I was doing this. I had to find the loan officer. I was trying to find all these people, and the realtors I had at the time before I got rid of all of them and chose this one. They ended up, I can't even think right now because I'm tired, you guys. I'm sorry. They ended up not getting me where I needed to be. But that was God's will, saying, you know what, these people are not looking out for you. They're not for you. You know, it took my loan officer that I finally got through one of the people that I didn't even want to deal with, for him to tell me, fire them all. Let me send you the right person. And the right person he sent me was the one that gave me everything I needed. So I had to go through the hardness just to appreciate what I have now.
So is that necessary that we brought God into the equation by saying, well, God let me know that I had the wrong people? Or can you really figure that out for yourself? If they're not, if it's not happening, this is the wrong people. Let me get somewhere else. For example, I've had at least 5 to 7 lawyers that have worked on things for me. And I realized without even praying about it, I went ahead and I said, I'm firing them. They're not getting the job done fast enough. They're not getting the job done fast enough. So it didn't take me to pray to God. It took me to exercise, and I'm making a point to this tonight, you all. It took me to realize that in my free will, in my free choice, that God has equipped us to know a lot of stuff, to know a lot of stuff. And if we're not putting our faith in him, but we tend to put our, and this is just my opinion, you all, and this is what's worked for me. Putting my faith in man brings failure and tremendous disappointment. But when I put my faith in God, even if the disappointment comes, it's almost as if I'm like, okay, then I'm not going to even worry about this. Because it's all things work together for the good, and I always rely on that. Okay, then let me go to the next level. But if I can see that somebody is not working in my best interest, it doesn't take a prayer for that. I just get rid of them no matter what. So help me out here, Lady C. You know, why is it necessary to keep praying to God for each person? God, let this realtor work. Let this broker work. Lord, get me through this one here. And when it doesn't happen, now there's disappointment. So what do you do after that, if anything?
You keep trusting in God. You just keep trusting in God. God shutting these doors, or God was shutting the doors, or having having them not do anything because he, well, not saying God had it. These people were not doing anything because why? He was waiting for you. He had the right person coming to you. I'm going to say that because he had the right person coming to me. You know, because the ones that I would have, that was lazy not doing their job, they could have went and just sold me anyhow, and I would have fell for it. You know, because there were some houses I was looking at. I was going to these realtors, and they would tell me, oh, you know, that's a really nice house. You know, that's a really nice house. But the thing is, they didn't tell me the house had Chinese drywall. It took one of them to tell me that. They didn't tell me that the roof had roof damage. That, you know, they weren't telling me any of that, you know? So it was frustrating. But now it's not so frustrating because the one that God has given me now, she gives me everything up front, and she's out for me.
Okay, so it was at one point in time frustrating. It was at one point in time frustrating.
It was.
Right.
That's what I said. I said looking for the houses is not frustrating. It's not frustrating. It was, you know, having the wrong team by me, with the wrong team. The realtors that I was dealing with was frustrating because they weren't doing anything. They weren't showing me any houses. They weren't doing anything. I guess they felt like I wasn't ready. But deep down inside, I was ready.
Yes,
you know, because a lot
of
realtors, when you go to a realtor, you tell them you're ready to buy. They want you to buy right then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time to be just some of these realtors. They don't have time to just be showing you houses, you know. Whatever house you
right.
Here where I live at, we have people from up north purchasing houses offline. Because I've had people that purchase a house that I like way from New York, with straight with cash offers, you know, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost the house based on that. And they didn't even look at the house. They didn't take the point to drive to it, look at it. All they saw was online and cut a check out.
I mean, it's like, you know, I would love for you all, for all of us, because I've had to learn a lot of stuff the hard way, because I've listened to so many different people with their versions of how God works in our lives. But what I concluded was, that's the way God works in your life. That's the way God works in your life. That's the way God works in your life. It could be 50 people. And he works with us according to our measures of faith. And I'm telling you, a lot of the experiences that people haven't had, that they're having, I haven't had those experiences with God. I mean, early on in life I did, but then as I started to get older and started to exercise my own free will that he gave us, being created in his image and beginning to sort of discern what I considered to be disappointments, it was a whole different thing. And it's like I bought a car online, never even seeing the car. I bought a car, and when I got there to go get the car, I actually saw it online, and I wanted that car. And all I did was pray, God, I want that car. And I went there the same day, and I told the people, they showed me the car. I took a test drive. I said, I want this car, and I'm going to put $100 down. And when the man, you know, saw me, I wasn't dressed up. But it doesn't, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover. And so I had already prayed. Went down there, and they tried to give me a hard time because it was a nice car. The car was underpriced, and I knew that. And so when they gave me a hard time, the guy called the manager. Salesman was great. Management did not want to sell me the car because it was underpriced, but it was advertised at a certain price. By the time I finished with them and I put the law to them, they say, give this man whatever he wants and give him $500 off the deal. You know, $500 off. I had already prayed, and my trust, my total trust went with God. And then when you go, and to me now, this is what I gained from that. When you stand on the word of God, the principles of God, I believe he does give you the desires of your heart. And let me tell you something. There is nothing good that he will withhold from us. And that's what the Bible says. And it's not the faith in man. It's the faith in God. And I guarantee you, if I hadn't gotten that car that day, within that week, I would have had another car. That's how, but it was when I came to realizing it's how God works with each one of us based on my measure of faith. And I believe that God will give you the desires of your heart no matter what that is. Now, with this law thing, you know, this is my, again, I'm having this sense of humor with God. But guess what? It's working out because it's now I'm understanding the law better than I ever have before. And because it's like I'm putting more into it, and I can even predict some things when I see it on television. And it's like, wow, I'm starting to feel like this is really where God is, like when I talk with him. God, I realize now what you really wanted. You really wanted me to be the best at this, the best at this. And I say, so now it's like I'm in the ring with Mike Tyson. Well, you know, Mike Tyson would probably hurt me in the first round. But I guarantee you I'm going to get a few punches in, and Mike Tyson will be like, oh, he hit me with a good right. I probably won't win that one. But you never know. David beat Goliath. You never know. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in and say, B. Marie, I'm going to bring you in. Michelle, I'm going to bring you in a minute. And I want to say, it comes down, in my opinion, to our relationships with God, not what everybody else is telling us. When these disappointments come, you know, we were born by ourselves, even set of twins, you know, we're born by ourselves. So it comes down to, wow, God, I'm going to trust you. And I've suffered loss with my mom, killed in a car accident. And that was my best friend. So I said, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. So, Sir Ben, in your opinion, would you say that it does come down to our relationships with God individually, regardless of 50 different people telling us different things?
Absolutely. And I'm going to stand on that premise, that it comes directly to our relationship. And if we have a direct connect with God, he will place people in our lives that would help us along our trip. We don't have to be sitting here trying to ask them. He will put them in place. I heard some people say that, you know, they don't really have to ask anybody about their path. I didn't have that journey in life. And so my journey was, from early on, there were people placed in my life and have always continually been people placed in my life that in every step, every different directions I was going, and there was a person there who had the information and knowledge and gave me the help that I need to help catapult me to the next step, and then to the next step, and then to the next step. There were always people set alongside in my journey to help me. And because I had that direct connect relationship with God, it didn't hinder me, it didn't hurt me, it didn't set me back. They were people that God had specifically placed in my life to help me along in my journey. And so I'm thankful for that today. Even when the big 2008 housing crash came along, a gentleman came to me, and him and I were not even good friends. As a matter of fact, I had had an issue with him about something that he misunderstood and made a big deal about it to all my other friends. And so in reality, him and I should not even be friends. We should have kind of parted ways because what he did was not really nice. But then I was thankful that that happened that way because in his apology to me, he came to me and said, "Hey, Ben, listen, this whole thing, what's going on with the houses thing, I know people are making money buying houses doing." He said, "This thing is about to crash and break. So if I was you, brother, I would just try to hunker down, get rid of some stuff, and get as much cash as you can to get your stuff ready." I listened to him. You know why I listened to him? Not because of my disagreement with him, what he had did. It's because God said, "I sent you somebody to help you." So that's what I did. I started dumping a lot of the stuff I had in my company. I started getting rid of stuff. I became very liquid. And 90 days later, 3 months later, everything came to a big grinding halt, and everybody was in trouble. And here I am because I listened to this guy who made up, tried to make a fool out of me. He had me with a lot of money and a lot of cash, and me and my family were able to, we were able to ride this storm without any difficulty. The housing debacle did not even affect me. I was still okay because God said, "I'll take care of you. Even when you can't see me, you got to trust me." So I understand what it means to be in the company of people that God sends for you, because he'll keep you elevated no matter what's going on around you.
You know, that is so important, what you just said right there, because sometimes we're in the wrong company. We're in the wrong company of people, and we're waiting on God to send us a message or a word. But if we exercise, you know, that relationship that we have with God, you know, and realize we take stock by taking a deep breath and look at the people that we're around, that the resources. It doesn't matter, Lady C, that this person may be a realtor. They can be a lawyer. It can be a doctor. But if it's something that's in your spirit that this isn't working right, then, you know, I need to change. And, Ms. C, I want to bring you in right now. When Jesus told the fishermen, they would have been out there all day fishing, and they weren't catching anything. And they didn't exercise some common sense. They were fishing in the same spot. And Jesus simply told them, "Cast your net on the other side." I mean, Jay, I'm sure you know the story from there. All he told them was, "Cast the net on the other side." Ms. Jay, so when people, they're disappointed. They're disappointed, the fishermen. Disappointed because they're in the same spot.
So God give you the common knowledge, the common sense to listen and use common sense. If I'm not getting it here and I'm sensing that it's over here, okay, make a change. And that's what's not happening. You got to make that change. You got to listen and make that change.
And sometimes, B. Marie, I want to bring you in, because sometimes, it's what Lady C said earlier, she don't tell a lot of people about her business. She deals with God by herself. So, B. Marie, sometimes it's in silence that it becomes so golden. Can you speak to us about that? Why, in your disappointment, you struggle through it with God yourself, and look at the power of his manifestation?
There are seasons in your life where you will have to go away to yourself. Jesus had to go away by himself for a little bit to get away from the crowd. We have to do the exact same thing, you know. I think that there is power in stillness. And what happens when you have a great counsel is wonderful. Now, we are to, you know, the word does talk about carrying one another's burden. And, you know, there's things that I've experienced in my own life where I needed people around me. But then even in the midst of that trial, there came a period of time where I had to steal away to myself. Because in those moments, he can bring you peace. He can give you clarity in ways that nobody else can. Because like Ben was saying, and even you were saying, our relationship with God is with him. So while we do need each other in helping us get through certain parts of what we go through, I think we can even, and I'll have to say this, every part of my life in different trials, there's always been the certain people that were good people around me to help me get through it. And I've even learned how to discern who to bring into my situation and who to leave out. That's very important because God will lead you to the right people in your moment of grief that you can lean on. And what I want to say, too, is we're talking about going through loss or grief and people wanting to say different things to you. You know, people have a heart and they want to say something because they want to be there for you. But you can let people be there for you. When it comes to people speaking to you, we have to learn how to, what my friend says, eat the meat and throw away the bone. Everything coming at us, we don't have to take on. So I do think it's important to take that time to yourself when you need it. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Would you repeat that, what you say your friend said? I missed that.
Oh. Eat the meat and throw away the bone. And what that
leave
is,
the meat
it is
and throw away the bone.
Yes.
Leave the meat and
throw away the bone.
Go ahead. I love it.
It would be great if everything was absolutely linear in our life and everything was perfect, but it's not. So there are going to be things that people throw at you. There's going to be things people say to you, but you have to learn how to smile and nod, thank you very much, and keep going, and not take everything that people are saying to you to heart. So that's what it means. It's learning how to discern what you need and throw out the rest that you really don't need.
I love that. You know, and again, it's the people that you have around your life. I left an entire city where I had so many friends and, you know, just so many people that were pulling on my life. I left an entire city. And I remember as a kid, my father saying once, he said, I need to leave this town. He says, I know too many people. I never understood what my father meant by that. He says, I know too many people in this town. And it wasn't until I became an adult and had that similar lifestyle that I knew so many people. But they were pulling on me and taking me in different directions. And 40-plus years later, then it's like I want to go in the direction I want to go into, which was, you know, law. And it's because, and I'm not blaming the people, I'm blaming myself because I didn't exercise what I needed to with what God had already given me, the ability to have my free choice. And so now this is the residual effect of it, and I'm not even angry about it. It's like actually sometimes that opposition becomes such a challenge that it's like, oh, you know, give me this book now. Give me this case now. I'm going to decipher this case and discern this stuff, and I'm going to be ready for it. And it makes you feel good because the confidence starts to come in. So, ladies, see, even if it's the house that you want, the Bible tells us there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for him. Sir Benny, I want to bring you in. And how do you get somebody to really believe that when life brings them disappointment? How do you get somebody to really believe that, you know, that you're trying to console this person, to inspire them? You know, that there's nothing too hard for God.
First of all, I ask the Holy Spirit for instructions and directions before I ever go into the situation. And because I understand the voice of the Good Shepherd and I hear it, he instructs me how to move first and foremost in the situation.
And then while I'm in the situation with that person, he also gives me a piece about the situation. And that piece that he gives me about the situation transfers over to that person. Oh, my goodness. If anybody knows anything about transference, if you're a mother and you've had a child, you understand about the umbilical cord and the connection that you have to that child. It's the same, almost identical effect that when you have a transference between what the Holy Spirit is giving you and what you're imparting into that other person. And so if you are operating correctly and everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing, that person will be able to receive the peace in you that is now being transferred into them, and it will give them a joy that they can't even explain. They won't even know how to articulate it. They'll just say, "Ooh, I got that peace about me." And so a lot of times it's not the words that we say. It's the power of that connectivity to the Father that transfers and translates into other people that is within our circle.
And that is, and that's what we need. Ms. J, I want to bring you in. Ms. J, there are times when someone is going through something, and then you just don't know the right words. And my experience has been with those people. Sometimes, Ms. J, because I don't know the right words that the, like the Sir Ben is saying, that the Holy Spirit has been put in my heart, and it just says to sit there and be still, but be there. And sometimes just give them a hug and hold them and let them know that it's going to be okay. Ms. J, how do you do that? How do you handle somebody who you don't know the words to say? What do you do?
You just said it. I don't say anything. I just hold them and I listen. I give them a hug and I say, "I'm here for you." That's all. And I listen. Because at that time, people want, sometimes they want to vent. They just want somebody to just be there to hear them. They don't want words from you. They don't want to hear you say, "It's going to be okay," or "He's in a better place," or "It wasn't meant for you." Just listen. And that's all. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to do. Just be there. That's the most mm-hmm. confident thing that it is.
And you're so right. Because when I lost my mom, you know, I got tired of people saying some of those very things. "Oh, be strong." What do you mean, be strong? You know, what are you feeling right now? And I watch this sometimes on the news, like the building that collapsed down there in Miami. And then the news people will ask the same, and you all forgive me for using this word. It seems, and I'm going to use the word stupid, it seems like a stupid question. And God forgive me if I'm wrong. But they're like, "Your loved one, there's a good likelihood your loved one is buried under that rubble." And they're asking you, "How do you feel?"
Yeah.
Ms. J, help me understand that. What do you mean, how do I feel?
Don't ask me. Well, I'm like now, like Bieber Reese, I'm going to be patient. I'm just going to give you that side eye because I'm not going to say nothing. How do I feel? You know, because you want to tell them how you feel, but imagine that stupid question. But you just look at them and just turn your head from them. That's all you can do because you – I will even answer the question.
I don't get that. Lady C, let me bring you in before you close us out. It's not time yet. But you just suffered a loss. And is that, first of all, is that a stupid question to you? Maybe I'm missing something. Miss J and I are thinking that along the same lines I hear. Lady C, is this a stupid question? Help me, because maybe I need to change my way of thinking.
I don't know if it's a stupid question. So, I don't know. You might want to ask somebody else that question.
Okay. Sir Ben, is it a stupid question? You lost a loved one, and somebody asks you, "Well, how do you feel?" Like the news, and the world is watching. How do you feel?
I think it's an absolute.
Go ahead,
I think it's an absolute. I think it's an absolutely stupid question. But because we live in a world that's desensitized to trauma and tragedy, we think it's okay just to open our mouth and just have to have a question about everything. We do it all the time. We just got to always question everything. Instead of coming out of love and understanding, we come with the rationale that I'm just responding to what everybody else wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
We should not always respond. We should come in a loving, in a sympathetic, in a submitted role, because you understand if you had any type of death in your life, the impact that it has on you. And because you
mm-hmm.
understand that, your response should be not a question, but a response should be, I understand.
If it's genuine, if they do. If it's genuine, you're right. Dee Marie, I want to bring you in. Dee Marie, is that a stupid question to you?
well, you know, I wouldn't say, I would say it's kind of ignorant and insensitive. Is that work? It's stupid. what I find though is that's something that the news does, because their job is to report and bring the story. They're not, I think in the grand scheme of things, if these news reporters were off camera, it would be a different conversation. I've never known. I've lost my father, I've lost my aunt. Two of my aunts, I've lost a lot of, you know, amazing people in my life. And no one has ever asked me how I feel. My close friends,
mm-hmm.
no, they've never asked that question.
Same here.
The only thing, so I think that's just a new thing, but the only thing that people have ever asked me was, what can I do for you? What, is there something that I can do?
Mm-hmm.
They have asked me, are you okay? And when I lost my father, I was asked that question, are you okay? And the reason why is because they didn't know how to read the fact that I was at church worshiping when I lost my father. They were
mm-hmm.
like, how are you doing this? Because my father was in St. Louis and I'm down here. And I was, you know, going to get on a plane to go up to see him. And I lost him. I didn't get to say bye. And
right.
I'm worshiping. And people couldn't understand, are you okay? Now, I was okay. The reason why they were asking me that is because they were trying to figure out what's going on with me. And I understood, so I wasn't offended by that question. But
right.
I had to be around other people. I couldn't be alone at that time. So, you know, it's not a great question.
I get it. No, I get it. We're just about out of time, you all. We're down to about 90 seconds. So I want to quickly ask each one of you all, and then Lady C will be the final one that I ask this, because she'll close us out. In reference to tonight's topic, do you still have faith in God when life brings you disappointment? Ms. G, I want to start with you just quickly, 15 seconds or less. What would you tell our audience out here, our listeners, how to maintain their faith in God when life brings them disappointments? And that's a question to all of us tonight. Let's start with you, Lady Ms. J. What would you tell our audience? When life brings you disappointment, how do they maintain their faith in God?
I said just pray on it and always remember to think don't always think about what God should do for you, but maybe start paying attention to what he has done for you and just stay in prayer.
Okay, and my response is going to be for me tonight. It's going to be what I believe Bea Marie brought out to us. I believe it was Bea Marie, and that is Father knows best. I'm going to leave, and I'm talking about the Father now, God. For Benny, let's bring you in. And what do you tell our listening audience out here in 15 seconds or less, when life brings them disappointments?
That your life is not predicated on your disappointments. Your life is predicated in the love that God has for you. And he said the race is not given to the swift, but just keep going. When you fall down, jump back up fast and keep going. When you get knocked down, jump back up fast like David did and keep going. That's why David had the heart of God. God said David has a heart after my own stuff, because David always kept getting back up. No matter what happened, what he did, he kept getting up. It's not predicated on your perfection or what you are in your relationship and your love and your religion. It's the fact that God said, get back up.
I love it. Thank you so much. Bea Marie, let's bring you in before Lady C closes us out and give us her thoughts on what she would tell the audience. Go ahead, Bea Marie.
Just know that God loves you with an everlasting love. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And whatever he has for you is going to be his very best.
All right. Thank you for that. Lady C, give us your thoughts on what you would tell our audience and then close us out.
I would just tell our audience is always trust in God and lean not to your own understanding, and to have compassion for others even when you don't understand their situation. Even if it comes to death, relationship, or whatever they're going through, have compassion.
Amen. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for tuning in tonight. It's been a pleasure, an honor, and a joy. And it's been quite informative. And I hope you all have gotten something from this here as much as I did. And listen, please join us here next Friday night. Of course, we've got the Dr. Jess Walk Show next Thursday night. We've got a topic that you will not want to miss. And you still got time to let your friends know about it. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we look forward to seeing you again back here next Friday night. And then we remind you that we have the International Divine Intervention Day coming up Saturday, July 10th. So until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Good night, Dr. Walk, and good night, all
good night,
everyone. God bless you all. Great show as usual. Stay safe and blessed. Bye-bye.